As 2021 comes to an end and season two of the podcast comes to an end, I wanted to take a moment today and look back on the past few months and the interviews and stories we've shared on All the Wiser and reflect on some of the moments and lessons that stuck out to me and I hope will stay with me during the holidays and coming into the new year. This project was initially intended to end at 50 interviews. My goal was to find 50 inspiring stories, pour my heart and soul into sharing them in the most intentional way possible to serve the listeners and to donate to 50 charities along the way. We reached that goal in May, which was a big day. I cried after the interview with Scott Harrison. But we decided to move forward beyond those 50 interviews, which was season two, which wraps today. And the reason I decided to move forward was personal, frankly, because I love this podcast. I think the opportunity to meet these people, to have conversations, to ask questions, to have real conversations, hard conversation, heartfelt conversations is really a gift. And I have been changed for the better by many of these conversations. And obviously, my deep hope and intention is that people listening have been changed for the better as well. So we forged on and now wrap season two. So we have 59 stories that we have produced and shared with you. And while I do not know how long this podcast will go on, I do know that we are deep in producing season three, which will drop right after the new year, so we can all start the new year together. And I've recorded three of those interviews, and we're in the process of producing the pieces right now. And I can tell you that I pretty much equally floored by all three and completely blown away. You know, not every interview by any means is a home run. I may be off my game or, you know, all sorts of different things can happen. But the three interviews and the three people and the stories that we have created for you so far, I just couldn't be more excited and grateful to have the opportunity to share it with you. So as we wind down on 2021, let's take a look back at season two of All the Wiser. So if you listen to the podcast, you know that I always ask our guests the same question to end the conversation. And that is, what do you hope our listeners take away from your story? And where I'm going with that question is the intent. When people bravely speak about their truth, especially their hard truths or things that can feel scary and vulnerable to talk about, they normally have an intention and a why. They are sharing for a reason. And I'm just really curious at the end to distill that intention and that reason. I want to start with the words of Scarlett Lewis. Scarlett is the mother of Jesse Lewis. Jesse Lewis was a first grader at Sandy Hook Elementary School when he lost his life at the hands of a school shooter. Scarlett shared a lot with us. We talked about her road of grief and Jesse's legacy. We talked about forgiveness and we talked about what it'll take to end school shootings in this country. Here is Scarlett Lewis, the mother of Jesse Lewis.
When you have the courage to be grateful when things aren't going your way, the courage to forgive, even when the person who hurt you isn't sorry, doesn't care, or may not even know, and then the courage to step outside of your busyness and distraction and all that you have going on to help someone else, you are choosing love. You're taking your personal power back and you're making the world a safer, more peaceful, and loving place.
Scarlett's interview was breathtakingly beautiful on so many levels. Her commitment to Jesse's legacy and him leaving a really positive impact on this world is something that it's just coursing through her. I mean, it's so clear that she wakes up every day committed to the legacy of her son. And the thing about Scarlett is, sadly, I'm recording this the day after a school shooting that happened yesterday where three kids lost their lives. This is something that is a reality in our country still. And Scarlett has committed her solution to being rooted in love and this notion that when people are fully seen, supported, and cared for, and get the resources, the help, the care, and the love that they need as human beings, they don't end up becoming school shooters. And so she started the Jesse Lewis Choose Love movement. She's in schools and prisons around the country and around the world, and it's really her commitment to getting every human being, especially those who are the most vulnerable, but that the solution is not found in rage or hate or yelling, but the solution is actually found in the legacy of how Jesse lived his life, and that was of being a loving and compassionate person. And so now she's built these programs to make sure that all kids have loving, compassionate, and supportive people in their lives with the hope that that prevents future school shootings from happening. I believe deeply in Scarlett's work, in her message, and her mission, and I am glad that her voice can echo into the ears and the hearts and the minds of others on this podcast. Well, as a country, we still are working to keep our kids safe at school. So check out Scarlett's work on the Jesse Lewis Choose Love movement. Her work there is inspirational, and her message of forgiveness is, I think, one that regardless of how small or devastatingly large the circumstances are, that it is possible within each of us to forgive one another. And in forgiving others, you are freeing yourself up. You are ultimately giving yourself a gift, and I think part of Scarlett's superpower and how she is able to be out creating this impactful work and changing lives in the name of Jesse is because she has walked that path, that hard and complicated and empowering path of forgiveness. This next clip is from my interview with Jenna Miscavige Hill. Jenna is the niece of David Miscavige, who is the head of the Church of Scientology. There is obviously a lot of intrigue, mystery, curiosity around Scientology and the secrecy around Scientology. And Jenna illuminated a lot of that for us in this interview. But it's really an interview and a conversation about courage, taking the courage to question the systems around us and what is serving and no longer serving us.
I guess a few things. I think that essentially it's that, you know, listening to your own intuition is very important. But I think that an even bigger one is that even if you're in a really bad situation and everything depends on it, like it feels like you'll lose everything, that might not be the case. It might just be a new beginning to something better. So being brave is so important, especially when you know something is right. It takes bravery to get out of a bad situation. And bravery is knowing things could be bad and will be hard, but having enough faith in yourself to know that you're worth it and that you will come through it and you will make the best of that.
I was just so taken by her bravery in starting from square one of walking away from everything and really with a blank slate, because I think blank slates can be exciting and they can be terrifying and crippling. And I believe they were all of that for Jenna and what I took away from our conversation. But she has created this life that is rich and meaningful and vastly different than her past, than her childhood, than the life that was scripted and sort of defined and controlled for her. She's really incredibly courageous. And one of the things I found fascinating about Jenna's story was this idea of first. Having grown up in the confines of an incredibly strict and controlled and regimented sect of Scientology. She had very little freedom in the world, including what food she ate, how she moved in the world, who she talked to, how she dressed. And so as an adult, those were all first. I mean, she talked about being in a grocery store and pushing the cart for the first time and figuring out what food she liked and that discovering that she liked flowers and arranging flowers and hobbies and how, you know, dressing, all of these different things that I realized I sort of take for granted as we grow up and are able to try on different things and ways of being and identifying ourselves and expressing ourselves, that she really was robbed of all of that. But she bravely took all those firsts as an adult and, as I shared, created a life of her own making and of her own meaning. And it's a fascinating story, and it's a really inspirational story, I think, for anybody who's thinking in ways big or small about rethinking a relationship, rethinking a pattern, whatever that may be, and that there is always an opportunity for a new chapter ahead, and that you and you alone can define what that chapter looks like. This next clip is from, I'm going to say, not only one of my all-time favorite guests on the podcast, but in my entire two-decade career of traveling around the world interviewing people, this was a huge, huge moment. And that was my interview with Dr. Edith Eger, or Dr. Edie, as we like to call her. Dr. Edie is a 94-year-old woman. She's a Holocaust survivor. She published her first book, her New York Times bestselling memoir, at the age of 90, and then just published her second book at 93 in the midst of a pandemic, and is probably one of the most remarkable people I have had the privilege of meeting. And there's so, so much here. But Dr. Edie, it's really about mindset, and that within the confines of the hell that was the Holocaust and her time at Auschwitz and living in the concentration camps, she realized that she had very little control, but what she did have control over and what she did have choice around was her mind and the story she told herself and how she showed up as a human being for the people around her. And it is a message that she has carried with her her entire life. She's truly a treasure, a gift. Here are the words of Dr. Edith Eger.
I like to tell you that revenge only gives you a very temporary satisfaction, but the forgiveness that I speak about has given me the greatest hope and the greatest freedom. So with that in mind, I wish you well, Kimmy girl, and I thank you for your brilliant, wonderful, detailed interview. You made my day, and keep on keeping on. You're great.
So that just scratches the surface of the dozens of what we like to call post-it moments in the interview with Dr. Edie. If you have not read her book, The Choice, I believe it should be required reading for every human being. She has so much to offer. And I also think, as we think about our lives and the passage of time, the fact that she is in her 90s and the impact that she is having on the world right now, when the world needs more Dr. Edies, and is just waking up every day with such passion and heart and honesty and zest and humor and power in telling her story and the hopes that others can learn from it. That interview was everything. It was one that I will remember for a lifetime. And if you haven't had the chance to listen, I hope you will go back, because Edie is just the best company that any person could ever keep. And you will love her voice and just having her in your ear and with you and teaching you. And this last clip is from Angelia Bianca. Angelia is an example of hope and why nobody, regardless of how frustrating or long or hard the road of the relationship with the person or the relationship with yourself has been that we all have the potential to change, that there is hope within all of us for a brighter and better and healthier and whole future ahead. She lived on the streets of Chicago in the Chicago Projects for decades as a drug addict living homeless in vacant buildings. At points, she talks about putting tissues in her ears so the cockroaches won't crawl in. And to go from that state of pain and suffering and disease and addiction to the woman she is today, who is back actually on those same streets now making a difference and disrupting violence and addiction and homelessness in those very streets, is just a true testament to the power of human transformation and our potential to change.
So I want people to know that no matter how grim things look, we all know someone. Everyone knows someone or their family member or a cousin or their neighbor that is involved in some kind of a behavior that's heartbreaking for a family or, you know, whatever. I want people to know that there's always hope. Never give up on anyone, because you never know the potential that someone has. And if you can put a word of hope into somebody, that means the world to them.
So I think it's a beautiful reminder for us to remain hopeful, even when it feels really hard. So if there's somebody in your life who is suffering or struggling, whether it be with mental health or with addiction or with patterns of behavior, that there is always hope. And she is just a testament to the potential, again, that we all can change and do better and be better for ourselves and for one another. So if you need to hang on to her story, it is here for you on this podcast. I wish you all happy holidays. That being said, I know the holidays are fraught. They are layered and complex. They can be exciting and magical and wonderful, and they can also be really freaking hard. And I would just say everything is heightened, right? The calendar is heightened, the schedule is heightened. And for many people who are suffering, whether that's the loss of a loved one or going through something in their life that is difficult, that can feel heightened. That said, I hope you have moments of joy and connection. I also hope you intentionally make time for yourself and take great care with yourself and compassion for yourself during this season. Speaking of seasons, we will be back for season 3 of All the Wiser, starting the first week in January. 3 is my lucky number, so I'm assuming it's going to be a great one, and I can't wait for you to join me. And thank you for all of your support this year on behalf of myself and everyone on the All the Wiser team. We absolutely love what we do, and you showing up to be a part of it and to build community and conversation around it and to bring it into your own lives and homes is what makes it worth it. It's what makes it matter, and we are incredibly grateful. All the Wiser is produced by Erica Gerard at PodKit Productions. Our sound engineer is Kelly Kramerick, and our associate producer is Tara Daigle.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.